Good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for your company tonight in the Acts 28 Pal Talk room. It's wonderful to see you, and the encouragement that you provide is immeasurable, and we bless you, each and every one. For old friends and new, for those that have found us again after we changed to Thursday night, it's great to see you. We are currently examining that wonderful doctrine of justification by faith through the wonderful and gracious reckoning of God, as found particularly in both Galatians and Romans. We've had some wonderful adventures thus far. We can't recap it all. And we tonight want to focus on a but now. We find but now particularly in Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 3. And I just want to refresh us to that. Much and all, as we might not see but now clearly expressed in other of Paul's epistles, we notice that we have certainly a comparison between what did exist before and what now exists after the Saviour has come under the law, as Galatians 4 says, to redeem those under the law. Romans 3:21, but now a righteousness of God has been revealed, apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith of Jesus Christ toward all and upon all those who believe, for there is no difference. Isn't it wonderful to see that Jew and Gentile during the Acts period, having believed into the Saviour, were by that faith are made righteous by the gracious reckoning of God. We notice, and we have examined the fact that this great gospel was revealed most certainly, but it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. And last lesson, we were really canvassing Hebrews, Romans, and Galatians to demonstrate this great change brought about by Christ's offering of himself without spot to God. Now, very quickly, tying Galatians, Hebrews, and Romans together, and recognizing that the great truth of justification by grace through faith was in fact witnessed by the law and the prophets, we referred to, but haven't seen recently, Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. And it says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first," which was, of course, the dispensational setting in the Acts period, "and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God," we've just seen that in Romans 3, 21 and 22, haven't we, "is revealed from faith to faith." This is a very important word. Since I don't see any smileys, I'm going to post one myself and flop it in here because I want you really to see this verse. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, as it is written." Can you see already an establishment of the theme? That the revelation of this doctrine is not entirely based upon a revelation. It was made plain or testified in the law and the prophets. And there you have those two words there in juxtaposition. And of course, the just shall live by faith is quoted, is out of Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, I'm jumping back, finding Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, "The just shall live by faith," in Hebrews, and I want us to remember a setting of "the just shall live by faith." Now, here's "the just shall live by faith" in Hebrews. Let's find it and throw it out here. It's in chapter 10, verse 38. So what we have is in the scriptures, in Romans chapter 1, we find justification by faith. And justification by faith is a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, and we also find it in Hebrews chapter 10. "The just shall live by faith." "Now the just shall live by faith, but if he draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." There is Habakkuk chapter 2. I.e., the very scripture that the Apostle Paul refers to in Romans as being that which reveals and testifies to the great doctrine, which is the very subject of our lessons or this little mini-series. So what I wanted to do was to go back and show you that there's basically, with a little revision, a but now, a change in Hebrews 9. In Hebrews 9, we have, in reference to the earthly tabernacle and the Aaronic priesthood, this is what the writer of Hebrews says, the Holy Spirit signifying by this. In other words, in the very temple service, there was a testimony to access. There was a testimony to a change that was coming, that the blood of bulls and goats, as we know, couldn't bring about a clearing of the conscience. But it wasn't simply just a clearing of the conscience. It was a testimony to the fact that there was going to be a greater access once the very high priest Joshua came and fulfilled all that those Levitical offerings spoke about. So we have in verse 9 a figure, do you see? There was in the law great lessons regarding this great truth. In verse 11, whilst this verse does not say but now, it certainly says that there is an incredible change, isn't that right? But when Christ had become a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, do you see? Those things of the past were a figure. Those things of the past signified something. And in Hebrews 10, we have justification by faith. Do you see? Justification by faith, as found in Habakkuk chapter 2. So here in Hebrews, we have this wonderful change brought about by Christ's offering, and we have a quote of Habakkuk. So justification by faith in Hebrews is in a context of where the writer emphasizes that which testified to something and the reality which is now available because of the Savior. Verse 12. Yes, he obtained eternal redemption. What a wonderful thing. He obtained eternal redemption, which includes the forgiveness of sins and justification of by faith through grace. Verse 15. And look at the context. Do you know something, friends? Here is Habakkuk 2 about the just shall live by faith. Here we have, it's in chapter 10 of Hebrews, here we have in chapter 9 that which was stood as a testimony. Now a great reality has come through the offering of Christ. And guess what the context is of Habakkuk 2, just shall live by faith in Hebrews. It certainly is not the church which is his body in heavenly places, because in verse 15 of chapter 9, where we have this wonderful reality brought about by Christ, for this cause, this wonderful redemption, and the just living by faith in Hebrews, we have the fact that Christ is a mediator of the new covenant. Isn't that wonderful? That is the context in the writings of the Acts period of the just shall live by faith. And you and I were never the blessed recipients of the promised new covenant. Do you see, friends? This is the context. There's a change, and the context is eternal redemption. But the context is in the new covenant being in view. Remember, in Hebrews 8, the old covenant was ready to vanish away, and the new was in view. What do I want to look at? Verse 28. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and to those who look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin to salvation. And in that context, we have the new covenant. But something else, chapter 10, just to show you that the new covenant is not only in the near context of the just to live by faith, let's go to chapter 10 and have a look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, writes Paul to the Hebrews, if we accept that he wrote them. And he said, if we sin willfully after, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins. This is chapter 10 of Hebrews, which speaks about the just living by faith. I'll tell you what, friends, it's not a very secure context, though, is it? Because after death of the high priest back in the law, those who had fled to the city of refuge were brought out to be tried. And after the death of the Saviour, who's coming without sin to salvation, there is a judgment. And verse 27 of Hebrews 10 continues that theme. A certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Verse 28 says, he who died despised Moses' law, died without mercy. And of course, of how much worse punishment, verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy of punishment, the one who has trampled the Son of God and who has counted the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified an unholy thing and has insulted the Spirit of grace? It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, he goes on to say. For yet a little while, and he who shall come and will not delay, and so we have the just shall live by faith. So we have this judgment, pending judgment, and the return of the Lord. And up earlier in chapter 10, I remember I forgot to post, we have that other reference to the new covenant. The just shall live by faith and the new covenant. These are the settings of justification by faith. All right, now, let's come to Romans chapter 3. And back to Romans chapter 3 and just recap this great testimony of the law and the prophets, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. And what I'm trying to show now, that the righteousness of God, which is given by faith, do you see, is testified in the law. And what I am doing is that I am showing you that the hope associated with justification by faith, as we've already seen in Hebrews, is also in and witnessed by the law. If we take justification by faith through grace and take it out of its dispensational setting, then you know what? We could quite easily say that it's the beginning of the revelation of the mystery of Ephesians chapter 3. But, my dear friends, Ephesians is about that which was hidden in God. Ephesians chapter 3 about blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. But these are not the blessings of Hebrews. Now, are they? These are not the blessings of Galatians, as we saw last week and as we are about to see in Romans. Romans 3. All are guilty, and we have this but now. Do you see it? But now. Okay, now let's go through Romans and have a look at what accompanies justification by faith. Let's see the dispensational setting. Let's see the hope that is also brought forth in the same epistles. And do you know what we're going to find? We're going to find that there is a consistency in Hebrews and in Romans and in Galatians, and it's all about the earth. That is the dispensational things which many expositors put to one side and focus only upon this glorious doctrine. And that is taking a subject out of its context. We can take a verse of scripture out of its context, friends, but I tell you what, we can take a doctrine out of its context as well. Now, as we go along, let's see justification by faith in chapter 4 and see what precisely where the writer, i.e. Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, where the blessings associated with justification by faith are located. Well, as you know, Abraham believed God, verse 3, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Here it comes. This is the righteousness of God by faith that we've just seen back in chapter 3. Now let's come down. How then was it reckoned, i.e. righteousness by faith? When Abraham was circumcised, i.e. if you will, an Israelite or a Jew? No, it was when he was uncircumcised, and he received a sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith while still uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all those believing through uncircumcision, for righteousness to be imputed to them also. Is this difficult, friends? Abraham was made righteous by faith through grace when he was uncircumcised. And you are fully aware how important this is in the Acts period context, when the Jews were demanding that the Gentile converts be circumcised, pardon me, and keep the whole law. Verse 12. And a father of circumcision to those not of circumcision only, but also to those walking by the steps of the faith of our father Abraham during uncircumcision. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham, to his seed, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Isn't this an important and critical verse when we go back to Galatians? I hope we remember it. We have righteousness, correct? We have righteousness by faith through grace. And I'm not typing away here anywhere. By faith through grace. Do you see that? And in its context, in its setting, what do we have? Heir of the world. Did you notice that? We have promise. Do you see? Promise. These are the words that accompany the great gospel of justification by faith. Hebrews speaks about enduring to receive the promise. Hebrews 12 speaks about Zion and the city of the living God, which I forgot to do when we were in Hebrews, but we'll find it. We'll go back to it. Do you see my point I'm trying to make, friends, in this lesson tonight? That justification by faith through grace is a doctrine that is embedded in the earth, in the world, and through promise, not the law. Oh, I should have posted the next verse, Romans 4, verse 14. For if they of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is made of no effect. Those who seek to attain glory by the observance of the law, writes the apostle, have made faith void and the promise of no effect. You know, he's saying it positively and negatively, and I don't think we can miss it, do you? That the promise of the promised land was given, do you see, in the righteousness of faith, which Abraham had before he was circumcised and 430 years before the law was given. And this is in the Jewish Tanakh. It's in the Torah. It's right before them every day, every Shabbat of their lives. The promised land was given in justification by faith. Now, when we come to Galatians and Hebrews and we put heavenly places in there, we are ripping the doctrine out of its context. For we saw last week that we could follow the justification of the nations out of Genesis 12, 1 to 3. We saw justification by faith for the Gentiles out of Genesis chapter 15. We saw in Galatians 3 a covenant. Now, didn't we? And you say, that's where you've stumbled, you see, Brian. There's no covenant. There's no new covenant in Romans. It's all about the church. Well, having established that we've got justification by faith in chapter 3, we've got the quote of Habakkuk in chapter 1, let's now go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and we're going to have a look at verse 19. You say, why are you looking at verse 19? Well, I wanted to remind you of the warnings in Hebrews chapter 10. Do you remember the warnings in Hebrews chapter 10? If they died under Moses' law, or they'd better be careful under Christ, now hadn't they? Looking for fiery indignation and judgment. Do you get the sense that right here in Romans 11, we have a similar small s spirit, a similar warning? You will say then, verse 19, the branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That's a Gentile, of course. Verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be high-minded, but fear. How anyone can read these verses of Scripture in Romans 11 and say this is the dispensation of the grace of God is really, friends, up for, not debate, but credibility questions. For if God did not spare the natural branches, fear lest he also may not spare you either. This is in the same dispensational setting as Hebrews 10, is it not? Behold then, verse 22, the kindness and the severity of God. In this Romans 11 setting, where the Gentiles were grafted into the olive tree, there were two things in view, kindness and severity. Justification by faith has been established in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Now he's talking to the same people, and he talks about severity and kindness and the option of having either by faith. But in our present dispensation in Ephesians, we have been presented holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Do you see the difference, friends? Now then, coming down to Romans 11:26, Paul comes to a wonderful conclusion, and we're not here to look at Romans 9, 10, and 11, but he goes on to say, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them. Do you see Habakkuk chapter 2, the just shall live by faith, is in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 9 is what it was in the past, what the Holy Ghost signified in the Levitical service of the earthly tabernacle, and just shall live by faith in Hebrews 8, 9, and 10 is in the context of a new covenant, and Zion, and the city of the living God. Here we come to Romans chapter 11, and we have, this is my covenant with them when I have taken away their sins. Here we have righteousness. Let me make sure this is being typed in. Righteousness, faith, grace, promise, heir of the world. Do you see? Before the law, before circumcision. Do you see, friends? That is the context of Habakkuk 2 and the just shall live by faith in Hebrews, and it's the identical context in Romans. By the way, did you remember, I hope maybe you did, remember in He Who Will Come, Shall Come in Hebrews chapter 10? We'll have a look, by the way, at the same spirit here in Romans 13. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The time was short in Hebrews, justification by faith, the old covenant, the old tabernacle, the earth in view, justification by faith in Romans, Habakkuk chapter 2, promise, faith, grace, before the law, before circumcision. We have the Lord coming to Zion in Romans chapter 11. We have the new covenant in Romans chapter 11. And here we have in chapter 13, the time is short. We could practically put Romans dispensationally, smack dab over the top of Hebrews. And you know what? There are people who are so desperate to say, oh, Paul didn't write Hebrews, because they want to say, oh, there's no harmony between Hebrews and Romans, therefore Paul didn't write Hebrews. Because you know why? Because they want to inject into Romans the truths of Ephesians, and they try and show Romans as being different from Hebrews, but they're on the same page, dispensationally. Well, I tell you what, let's go back to where we were last week. And if we go through Galatians one more time and find promise, faith, inheritance, world, land, and a new covenant, I tell you what, we have now got Hebrews, Romans, and Galatians all on the same page, haven't we? And those who take justification by faith and put it exclusively and dispensationally as the prerogative of the church, which is his body in heavenly places, they have taken the doctrine out of context. They're ignoring all the other things that were written in Galatians and Romans, and here we go, and Hebrews for that matter. So here is Galatians. Where shall I start? Now a righteousness of God has been revealed, says Paul. Well, let's pick it up, and without going over everything, let's jump into Galatians 3 and find out that in the past, okay, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. For as many as are out of the works of the law are under a curse, all guilty. Do you see? All under sin. Cursed if everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Do you think that sounds like Hebrews? That the priests couldn't sit down because their work was never done, because they died and never had a conscience clear? Do you think that this is what Romans is about? That the law has no righteousness in it and no life and no inheritance? You think Galatians, Hebrews and Romans might be on the same theme? But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is clear. The just shall live by faith. Ah, there we are. Here comes Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. As it occurred in Hebrews in the same dispensational setting, as it occurred in Romans in the same dispensational setting. But the law is not of faith, but the man who does these things shall live in them. The man who doesn't live in them, that's Leviticus, which is also quoted in Romans, is it not? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you see? Isn't it wonderful? Paul's already expounded justification by faith at the top of the chapter. So here we have Christ has redeemed. Before, the law was a burden. It had an all guilty. But Christ has brought about redemption. See the word redeemed? We have justification by faith as a blessed consequence. But where are we going? Are we going to heavenly places in Galatians chapter 3? So that the blessing of Abraham might be to the Gentiles. So that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. No. It's not about heavenly places. Do you see? The setting of justification by faith in Hebrews, in Romans, and Galatians is the same. Now, without going and labouring these points, I come down to what we looked at again last week. If the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by way of promise. So we have righteousness. Do you see? We have inheritance. We have promise. You see that? Let's go back to Galatians 4 because I want to make sure that we really, really see this tonight. Galatians 4, 14 to 16. Therefore, it is of faith. Verse 13. The promise that he should be heir of the world, do you see, was not to Abraham and to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Justification by faith was the very virtue through which the promise of the world was given. Do we understand that? Right, justification by faith was the gracious principle through which the very, catalyst through which the promise of the inheritance was given. If you take justification by faith out of Romans 4 verse 13 and put it into the heavenly places and as if it's some beginning of a revelation of the mystery, we have totally ignored what the apostle is saying. For if they of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is of no effect. Justification by faith, the catalyst for the inheritance, the catalyst for the promise. That's the dispensational setting. Is this a glorious and wonderful thing? So now back to Galatians, we find these words, don't we, in chapter 3. Where were we? Verse 17. Verse 18. For if the inheritance is of the law, here comes the identical words out of Romans 4, it is no more of promise. The law spoke of righteousness by faith. The law spoke of the wonderful inheritance. It stood forth in type and shadow for that which is to come. There was no inheritance in the works of the law. There is no place with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom by the work of the law. It's by faith. Father of the faith is Abraham. Now, we're not going to dwell on the fact that we've been through Galatians 3 before, but we just wanted to recap these things. Now, so where is the new covenant in Galatians? Well, we know that the law was added because of transgressions. We know those things, friend. Why then is the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to those to whom it had been promised. So here comes his argument about the law as added because of transgressions. Now, the law, having been added, is not against the promises of God, as we have already seen. The promises were in the catalyst of righteousness by faith. Verse 21 of Galatians 3. If a law had been given which could have given life, indeed righteousness would have been out of the law. The law was a trainer, verse 24, to bring Israel to the Messiah. It was a burden. It was to magnify the sinfulness of sin. But faith coming, we are no longer under a trainer. Do you see the but now, if you will, in Galatians 3:25? But now, do you see? The training program is over. Messiah has come, and by faith in Christ, they're all sons or heirs of God. Verse 26. This is justification by faith chapter in Galatians, friends. I am not out of context. Verse 27. For as many as were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Do you see? In Christ, there cannot be Jew, there cannot be Greek, there cannot be male or female, bond or free. Do you see? And justification by faith and the but now doesn't mean the mystery of Ephesians 3, now does it? Do you see the but now? See the change? And praise God, back in the Acts period, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Here we go again. Righteousness, do you see? Faith, grace, promise, heir, inheritance. Justification, I'd spelt them really well, didn't I? Justification by faith through grace, righteousness reckoned, is in a context of a promise of the earth, an heir of the world, an adoption or a sonship, which is related to Abraham. He is the father of the faith of the Acts period. Now have a look at the next chapter 4, and I did give you a version that shows the continuation. Remember, chapter breaks in the Bible are convenience only. Now, what I am saying is this. As long as an heir is a child, he is no better off than a slave, even though he owns everything. Do you see that? Okay, what I'm saying is this. Despite the fact that the law was a schoolmaster, I'm now going to show you the parallel in life. That a child, despite the fact that he is the heir, is no better off than a slave because he is under bondage or tutelage. And this is why I want to show the word slavery. Do you see? We have being under bondage and under the law and all of those things that we haven't forgotten in chapter 3. We have the heir. He does not differ from a slave. He's under guardians and housemasters until the time appointed by the father. Do we understand that we are talking here about a period of time, a period of traineeship? This is all part of the but now, dear friends. You see, we cannot go to Romans chapter 3, 21, but now, and then leave all of the rest of Romans and go over to Ephesians and say the but now of Romans chapter 3 means that we are now in the dispensation of the grace of God, which has nothing to do with covenants, nothing to do with Abraham, and is in fact about a purpose of God that goes back before Adam and Eve, and it deals with a company destined for the heavenly places. Do you see the problem when we take a doctrine out of context? Look at the word, here it comes. We've had slave and slavery in Galatians 4, 1 and 2, and now we have, look, we have here, even so, Galatians 4, 3, when we were infants, we're in bondage under the elements of the law. And we don't even need to recap, the fact of what the bondage refers to. Now, do we? Paul is arguing to the Jewish believers, the Judaizers, that they're trying to put the Gentiles back under the very bondage that Christ released both Jew and Gentile from. But when the fullness of time came, see, this is all part of the but now, isn't it? When the fullness of time came, do you understand? God sent forth his son, coming into being out of a woman. That goes back to Genesis chapter 3. We pass on that, having come under the law, and that he might redeem those under the law so that we might receive the adoption of sons. Justification by faith is the blessed recipient of those who have been redeemed by the Messiah's work. Those who have faith in the very Messiah, the very son of the woman, the very seed of Abraham, the very seed of David, who offered himself without spot to God. That's what the Levitical offerings were pointing to. Now, here is the consequence. You see, here is the but now consequences of the Acts period, adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of the Son into his heart, crying, Abba, Father. You see that? Sonship. Now, he's already told us in chapter 3, he's repeating himself, that by faith the Gentiles were the seed of Abraham, the sons or the heirs of Abraham. So that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir. Oh, well, we've had the two covenants in Hebrews and justification by faith out of Habakkuk. We've been to Romans and seen justification by faith, and we've seen the new covenant in Romans chapter 11. And we're not now going to come down, skipping over the appeal to the Gentile believers, and come down and pick up the story in verse 21. Paul says this, tell me, those desiring to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons. Now we're going to have a little section about, and it's all following on from the great gospel that was given to Paul by revelation, which he started in chapter 1 in Galatians, spoke about the incident at Antioch in chapter 2 of Galatians, and unfolds his great gospel in chapter 3. What are we going to do with this bottom section of chapter 4? Throw it out the window because we want to make justification by faith the launch pad of the mystery of Ephesians? Here is what Paul is looking to. Do you see, those who do those cute things with the Bible, they want to look to Ephesians with justification by faith in their mind in Galatians and Romans, but that's not what the Apostle Paul is doing. In the but now setting of this great truth, what is Paul looking to? Well, in Hebrews, if he wrote it, he's looking to the new covenant and Christ coming to Mount Zion. Now, that's four times I've said that. So hang on a minute, and I've got to show you in Hebrews chapter 12, writing to the same people to whom he quoted Habakkuk. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. You see it? An innumerable company of angels to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are written in heaven, and of course to God the judge of all and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to next verse, and Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling which speaks better things than that of Abel. Well, there we are again. So we've got justification in Hebrews, and we've got no drawing back in Hebrews. And what does he look to? Zion. What does Romans look to? Zion. Now let's go back to Galatians, where we also have Habakkuk, and find out in chapter 4 about these two sons. Abraham had two sons, as recorded in the law. And that goes back to Genesis, doesn't it? Doesn't that go back to Genesis? And of course, justification of the Gentiles went back to Genesis. Now, didn't it? The inheritance, which is in Galatians 3, went back to Genesis, didn't it? And now we have the allegorical outline of Hagar and Sarah going back to Genesis as well. It seems to me that my statement last lesson, that Galatians can be slotted clean over the top of Genesis, is certainly very, very well established. Do you notice the word slave? And do you notice the word free? What do you think the but now means? The but now is brought out that under the law there was bondage and slavery, which he spoke about at the top of chapter 4, and then we have this great and glorious liberty. Stand therefore, he says to the Galatians, in the liberty that you have in Christ. But indeed, he out of the slave woman has been born according to the flesh. And what word jumps off the page in verse 23, did you see the word promise? Justification by faith, inheritance, land, promise, supernatural gifts. I forgot to throw them in as well back there in Galatians chapter 3. Which things are being allegorized? Okay, here's Paul taking the law and he is using it in a figurative way. An allegory. What's an allegory? A representation of an abstract or spiritual meaning through concrete or material forms. Figurative treatment of one subject under the guise of another. And here he is, writing about what? We have two women. We have two sons. We have two mountains. Did I get there yet? And guess what else we have? Two covenants, don't we? Can you take these dispensational elements out of justification by faith in Galatians? Can you take Mount Zion out of Romans chapter 11, and that's justification by faith? Can we take Mount Zion out of Hebrews chapter 12, which has justification by faith as witnessed by Habakkuk in chapter 10? Verse 25 of Hebrews 4, of Galatians 4, for Hagar is Mount Sinai. You see, he's making a representative presentation, isn't he? And answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in slavery with her children. I wonder what the slavery refers to. Do you see? Slavery is the bondage of the old covenant, isn't it? The all guilty verdict. But Jerusalem from above is free, who is the mother of us all. She isn't the mother of you and me today. We're members of the church, which is his body. The mother of us all. What we have here is Hagar and her son Ishmael, representing the flesh, an allegory of the old covenant, attempted under the flesh. in which there was nothing of promise of inheritance. Then we have Isaac and Rebekah. Wrong, Isaac and his mother, Sarah. Well, I remembered his wife and forgot his mother. But brothers, we like Isaac are children of promise, righteousness by faith, an inheritance, an adoption, sonship. The believing Jews and Gentiles of the Acts period are parallel to Isaac. In Romans, Abraham is their father. In Galatians, the New Jerusalem is their mother. Isn't that correct? He's just said that. Do you see? And they are like Isaac. Now, do you think that the New Jerusalem in Galatians, or the Jerusalem which is from above, I don't think we could argue that it's a different Jerusalem, do you? Do you think it's the mother of the believers in Galatians, but when we turn over to Hebrews, it's not the mother of the same believers? That's Habakkuk 2 in Hebrews chapter 10. And the New Jerusalem, the city of the living God, which Abraham looked for in chapter 11, is mentioned in chapter 12 of Hebrews, and here it is in Galatians, and we want to make it something completely different? Well, that's playing fast and loose, as my teacher, Mr. Wells, says, with the word of truth. Now, isn't it? But then, even as he born, Galatians 4:29, according to the flesh, persecuted him born according to the Spirit. Oh, yes, of course. Isaac was born of a mother whose womb was dead, of a father who was practically incapable. So it's all about resurrection and the power of the Spirit, which he's already referred to in the gifts in chapter 3, verse 30 of Galatians 4. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for in no way shall the son of the slave woman, i.e. those who keep the law, just in case the Galatian readers missed it, and just in case Brian, who's slow, just in case he missed it, keeping the law won't bring the inheritance, because the inheritance, we're told in Romans 4, was given in the catalyst of righteousness by faith, not any righteousness by the law. Can you see what a wonderful allegory this passage of chapter 4 is? And it's a dispensational setting of the earth. I've got Abraham as the father, I've got the Jerusalem above the mother, and I've got the believers of the Acts period like Isaac, a son of promise. And remember what Genesis 15 was all about? Abraham said, Lord, what are you going to give me since I don't have an heir? And in Genesis 15, he was told about his seed and he was given the land and he was made righteous by faith. And the setting is the earth in Genesis, and the setting in Hebrews is the earth. The setting in Romans is the earth. The setting in Galatians is the earth, and I put it to you very, very clearly that these things are clearly written and are simple. And when we want to make justification by faith through grace as some launch pad to the mystery of Ephesians, we are taking the doctrine out of its setting. And that's equally as disastrous as taking a verse of Scripture out of its setting. And may the Lord bless each and every one of you as you search and see and continue to examine this wonderful subject in its setting. Thank you, Father, for this evening. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for our time together. We thank you for helping each and every one of us to rejoice and understand these things. To you be the praise and the glory. For, Father, it is true. You will indeed, Father, bring about those purposes which you have decreed. There will be that great company on the earth. There will be that great company on the earth, the heirs and sons of Abraham, they will be righteous by faith and they will inherit. And the sons of Hagar, those who are righteous by the law, will not join them. Father, what a thrill, but you have a purpose for the above heavens, and we bless you for it. And thank you for the differences which have been made clear to us by the observance of the principle of right division. And Father, we have no boast, for as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, if anyone boasts, let him boast in the Lord, which we do together tonight. And we join heart and we join our mind and we say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, according as he hath chosen us in him before the promise of the land by faith, before the promise of the Holy Spirit, before justification, before the foundation of the world. And Father, to you be the praise and the glory through Christ our Lord. Amen.